Chapter 9, let's pray. Father, I trust, I mean, we're all here. I trust that we've been being blessed by this book in a negative way, in a strange way. We see the folly of people's decisions, and time again, you've come and you bail them out. And it kind of reminds us of us sometimes, but be less said all the time as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. And Lord, help us. I mean, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. And we would profit by it tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Abimelech. Okay, you remember Gideon, when he checked out last week. He didn't want to be king, but he acted like a king. He had 70 sons. He had many wives. That always distresses me. That always invites unhappiness. And he had a concubine besides. Many wives. What are we talking about? If you have 70 children, I guess you could do that with 7 women. People have 10 children. I mean, I guess you could. But probably 10 or more or 20. I don't know. Let's just say, let's average it out. Say 15 wives. And you need a concubine besides? I'm disappointed, okay? And he names his the son by the concubine. He names him, my dad is king, although he doesn't want to be king. So he checks out. He was a good guy by and large. He took some missteps. You remember the gold, the ephod? It became a snare to his house and to the children of Israel. I kind of want more of a, I'm not a perfect man. I think we all know we're not perfect. I think we get that. But I want more of an unblemished record than that. I want people looking at my life and say, yeah, Adam, he was pretty good. I know he loved the Lord. Hey, he was a mediocre Bible teacher. I mean, he meant well. I think his theology is good. He wasn't a great communicator, but, oh, yeah. And then there's this. Fill in the blank. I don't want that. You don't want that. We don't want the exception. Yeah, he was a good man of God. She was a good sister in the Lord. But except for that, and we talked last week about finishing well. Okay, chapter 9. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ears of all the men of Shechem, whether it be better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. Now, unless you miss this is called a straw man argument. Does anyone know what a straw man argument is? Please. And the one you're setting up probably doesn't even exist. So what's it better, for me to rule over you or for these 70 to rule over you? Who's ruling over who? God's ruling over the nation. God said there's no king, and every man did. God doesn't recognize this man as king. Be careful, because people do this, and what they're trying to do is manipulate your behavior. Can I give you one that's out there right now? So your, God forbid, your 12-year-old son thinks he's a girl now and he wants to come out as a girl and wants immediate puberty blockers and surgery. Or vice versa, your daughter or granddaughter, make whoever you want. Your neighbors, somebody you love, somebody you care about. You've got to jump on board. They're going to commit suicide. And then everyone's hysterical. Oh, oh. Calm down. We don't negotiate with terrorists. We don't do that as parents. Every time you don't get your way, you're going to say, I'm going to commit suicide? No. The answer is no. It's a straw man argument. But I don't think a lot of us get it. It's this or it's that. Well, see through this. He's setting this up. Would you? You want those guys? No. Which one of these 70 is saying, "Okay, make us king"? Well, Abimelech is, and he's the only one. And by the way, if I'm one of the 70 brothers, you want to be king? Have at it. Oh, don't expect me to genuflect in your presence, your highness. But I wouldn't care one way or the other. But these guys are going to be in harm's way because of one megalomaniac. Is it better that I reign over you or that these 70 reign over you? Remember, I'm your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake to him in the ears of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." Okay? I think God's setting the whole nation up for a fall. Remember, neither showed they kindness, verse 35, to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had shown in Israel, 34, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Now, I know it's a new chapter, but it's the same continuing saga. They turn from God, and God says, "Okay, you want Abimelech? Have at it." He's setting them up for a big fall. Yeah, he's our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light fellows which followed him. Now, 70 pieces of silver is not a huge amount. Apparently, it's enough for these vain and light persons, thugs. In a word, thugs. And he went to his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons, upon one stone. I don't think I read that right. Let me get that again. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons upon one stone. Yes, I got it right. Is this a horrific thing? Is this a godly man? No, I think we can understand he's not a godly man at all in any way, shape, or form. Why did he have to kill all his brothers? Competition. Perceived competition. We don't know if one of these 70 people even cared. But Jerubbaal, Gideon was their father, so maybe someone will rise up and start an army and try to overthrow me, and so we got to get rid of all these people. That's a horrible thing. Reflect on what this guy's doing. Lust for power, I think, is the worst of all the lusts. Money, yeah, we get it. Lust for sensual pleasure, yeah, we understand. Power, I'm sorry, I guess that never came into my... I don't want to rule over anybody. I'm having trouble. I have my hands full with governing my own activities on a daily basis and coming out right. Am I trying to control your life? I am trying to teach you what the Bible says. Control you? No, you know what? Here's what the Bible says. Now, do with it as you will. I'm not a czar. I never thought it... In my worst, most fleshly days when I was first married, and I don't think Susan said I was a czar. I've never been a control freak. And I just, frankly, I don't understand it. What makes people try to control other people? Oh, so yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, and he hid himself. Good. And all the men of Shechem gathered together in all the house of Millo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. Is he really a king? And again, not according to God. He said there was no king in Israel. God doesn't recognize this. God will recognize Saul. He'll recognize David. He'll recognize the king going on forward. He doesn't recognize this man as king. And when they told it to Jotham, he went and stood on the top of Mount Gerizim. Remember Mount Gerizim? Does anyone remember what that was famous for? There was two mountains. The blessings and cursings. You know, you remember the name of the other mountain? It's Mount Ebal. They took six tribes and put them one. They read the blessings. They put them one, and they read the cursings and on back and forth. And on Mount Gerizim, he built, Joshua built an altar. And it's a natural amphitheater, they tell me. We were in Israel. We did not go there. I would like to, but no. I mean, you know, if you're there for like a week or something, you know how it is. You can't go every place in the whole worldwide world as much as you like to. And you get so many things in. You get off the bus, you're running around here looking at this, taking pictures, you know, and boom, back on the bus to the next place. Well, you want to tarry, you want to drag your feet, you want to look it over some more, but the next place is important too, and like you say, there's only so many days. I would like to have been here. But I saw this on Expedition Bible. They found Joshua's altar. And from my thinking, it's really Joshua's altar. I don't think there's any question about it. Expedition Bible. Have you guys seen that? Did you see it last night? Yeah, it was cool, huh? I really enjoyed it. So he's standing on Mount Gerizim, and he lifted up his voice and cried and said unto them, "Hearken unto me, ye men of Shechem, that God may hearken unto you." He's calling them to repentance. Why does he want them to listen to him? Reason? That God might listen to you. Why would God listen to them? He's calling them to repentance. There's no other reason. Jotham, for all we know about him, he seems like a decent sort. It was brief appearance in Scripture. And he tells us, like, this parable. It's a soliloquy. He has this speaking part. It's all him for a few verses. And he's telling this. It's like a parable, right? The trees went forth on a time to anoint the king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, "Reign thou over us." But the olive tree said unto them, "Why should I leave my fatness wherewith by me they honor God and man and go to be promoted over the trees? If somebody said to me, 'Adam, tomorrow we will make you president of the United States,' I would probably accept it because the hour is late and it's very dark. Would I run for the office? No. It would be a real step down. Would I take it only so I'd have it and somebody else wouldn't? Enough said. But I've never wanted to be president. I want to stay in my lane. I want to teach the Bible here. What happens if somebody says, 'Yeah, I heard you on the radio. Listen, our pastors get done. Here's a big church, big salary, big, you know, you get the pastors, you get this, you get..." Sue's making a face. She's like she get a hold of some bad cheese. "Look, we're not interested. Pass, hard pass. I want to do what I feel God's called me to do. What do I think God's called me to do? I think I'm doing it." This is what the olive tree said. "Way to go, olive tree. I'm like happy for you. That's such a good choice." And the tree said to the fig tree, "Come thou and reign over us." But the fig tree said to them, "Should I forsake my sweetness?" And by the way, the fatness of the olive tree, the fat is, it's the olive oil. That's the healthy, a good fat. By the way, if you don't love olive oil, something's wrong with you, I'm just saying. I don't mean Popeye's girlfriend. I mean extra virgin, cold-pressed olive oil. Not only is it just the most tastiest thing on earth, it's a superfood. There's nothing better. Anyway, the fig tree, "Come thou, reign over us." Fig tree said unto them, "Should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit?" Do you like figs? I love figs. Figs are great. Should I forsake all this and go and be promoter over the trees? No, I stay in my lane. I got this whole fig thing going. I kind of like that. I think I'll keep doing that. Then said the trees under the vine, "Come down and rule, reign over us." And the vine said unto them, "Should I leave my wine, which cheereth God and man, and go to be promoter over the trees?" Way to go, vineyard. So everyone says, "No, hard pass. Thanks, no thanks. I'd rather be a vine." By the way, vine, fig tree, and olive tree, all symbols of Israel at one time or another. Interesting. Then saw the trees under the bramble. The bramble. The thistle. Think here, tumbleweed. Okay, you know those old, you know, western, yeah, just come into town, blows in, blows out, not anything to it, right? What's it good for? Not anything, really. Then said the trees under the bramble, come down and reign over us. And the bramble said to the trees, if in a truth you anoint me king over you, then come and put your trust in my shadow. I love Joseph because it's funny. It's so funny to be memorable. You know what I mean? What thistle? Come and rest in my shade. Well, let me lie down here and get just the right amount of... There's no shade there. You know, you can rest in my shadow is the idea. Trust in my shadow. And if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedars of Lebanon. Yeah, like that's going to happen. Now, therefore, if you have done truly and sincerely in that you made Abimelech king, and if you have dealt well with Jerubbabel and his house, and have done unto him according to the deserving of his hands, a lot of ifs there. For my father fought for you and adventured his life far and delivered you out of the hand of Midian. And you are risen up against my father's house this day and have slain his sons, 70 persons upon one stone, and have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your brother. If ye then have dealt truly and sincerely with Jerubbabel and with his house this day, then rejoice ye in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. You're made for each other. I hope it works out really good. A little bit of sarcasm there, but I think this is what he's saying. I think it is sarcastic. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Millo. Let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech. It's a match made in heaven. It's all tinder, and it's about to go up in smoke. And Jotham ran away. He runs out of the pages of Scripture. We never hear from or see him again. He had a cameo, and I think he did it well. Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer. It's not Budweiser, it's the town, Beer. And dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. Why? Because Abimelech's not done his murderous crusade. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. These uneasy alliances. Uneasy is the head that wears the crown. That the cruelty done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood be laid upon Abimelech their brother, which slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, which aided him in the killing of his brethren. God saw every last one, and he's not holding them guiltless. You think America is guiltless after 50 whatever million abortions? I'm sorry, but it's against turn back Roe v. Wade. And by the way, praise God that we did. And God just looks at that and says, don't worry about it. 50, 60, 70 million, we don't care. It's just numbers. It's numbers on a sheet of paper somewhere. We don't care. God, he doesn't... I think it was Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, who said, God will judge America or he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I think it's coming, and I think it's coming sooner rather than later. And I'm one who promotes and believes in God's mercy. And I talk very often about the grace of God. But his grace doesn't mean that he's an unrighteous judge or he's a doddering old fool. And, it's all good. Don't worry about it. I shudder when I think that, as Thomas Jefferson said, his righteousness doesn't sleep forever, but let's keep moving here. When Abimelech had reigned 3 years over Israel, God sent evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. The men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Verse 24, at the cruelty done to the threescore and ten sons. Okay, I already said that. Verse 25, and the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him in the top of the mountains, and they robbed it all that came along that way by them, and it was told Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren, and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their confidence in him. And then he went out into the fields and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and made merry and went into the house of their god, did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. He's got Jack Dempsey-itis, you know, you have enough liquid courage and all of a sudden you're the strongest, baddest hombre in the world, right? He's been drinking. Of course, when you do that, like, all your judgment's terribly impaired. And so he's got, you know, he's all running his mouth now. He curses Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal and Zebul his officer? Serve the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for why should we serve him? And would to God this people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. Again, he's acting all tough. He's pickled. When Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. He sent messengers unto Abimelech privately, saying, behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his brethren, he come to Shechem, and fairly they fortify the city against thee. Now therefore, up by night, thou and the people that is with thee, and lie in wait in the field. Why is all this going on? Because he made himself king, and now he killed 70 people. And that, see, there's a civil war here, and now we're all choosing sides. I'm not dying today on that hill just because you think you're king. Oh, you want to be king? Well, you guys go ahead and fight it out. I'll be over there. Forget about it. But you see, people are put in harm's way, and it's all because, well, one, the nation has turned their back on God, remember. And what happens after that? Mayhem. Carnage. Verse 33, it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early, set upon the city, and behold, when he and the people that is with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as shall find occasion. And Abimelech rose up, all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entering of the gate of the city. And Abimelech rose up and the people that were with him from lying in wait. When Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, behold, there come people down from the top of the mountains. And Zebul said to him, thou seest the shadow of the mountains as if they were men. Yeah, it's a mirage. You're not seeing what you think you're seeing. Gaal spoke again and said, see, there come people down by the middle of the land. Another company come along by the plain of Meoninim. Okay. Then said Zebul unto him, where is now thy mouth where thou sayest, who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go on, I pray now, and fight with them. Big talker, aren't you? Once you get the old wine in you, but hey, here's your opportunity to show how bad you are. And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And many were overthrown and wounded, even unto the entering of the gate. Which team is God on? Neither one. If I'm going to fight and die for this country, that could happen. When I was in the Marine Corps, you know, you sign your life away for the next 4 years. You know, I'm the government's property. And you choose to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. If that means, you know, they give you a gun, say, charge that that nest over and take out those guys with the big firepower and stuff like this, you go. You die. That's the thing. I want to believe that it's for a reason, you know. Why am I like I am, like today? Because I know over the years, like our blood and treasure has spilled their blood on battlefields all over this planet to secure our rights, constitutional rights, among which are freedom of speech, freedom of religion. Oh no, you don't have freedom of speech around here. You're free to tote the note. If we, the government, say this, well, you say it, and we'll give you full freedom to parrot what we tell you to say. But if you have a contrary position, no, forget about it. We're just going to cloud up and rain all over that. Facebook's that way. You know, it used to be called Twitter. I don't even know what's it now. And a lot of the things are that way. The social media, it's that way. YouTube is that way. It disturbs me. There's no worse American than somebody who would try to limit your freedom of speech. You don't have to agree with somebody. When you're in power and you are in charge, what are you going to say? Anyone who doesn't agree with you would off with their head? No, no, no. They can say anything they want. It doesn't have to even be true. Certainly, when it's about God and it's the government, they're not and they're staying in their lane. It's never true. Do you remember Obama when he mocked the Bible? Yeah, you ever see YouTube of that? Before that, I didn't like him. After that, I never would pray for him again or anything of that nature. I really tried. It would always turn to an imprecatory kind of, and so I just said, forget about it. How do I get here, by the way? Whose side is he on? Who knows? Neither. It's one bad guy against another bad guy. Abimelech dwelt at Aruma, and Zebul thrust out Gaal and his brethren, and they should not dwell in Shechem. Came to pass on the morrow, the people went out into the field, and they told Abimelech. He took the people and divided them into three companies and laid wait in the field and looked, and behold, the people had come forth out of the city, and he rose up against them, and he smote them. It's bad guys beating other bad guys, okay? Abimelech and the company that was with him rushed forward and stood in the entering of the gate of the city, and the other two companies ran upon all the people that were in the fields and slew them. I'm thinking he probably fancies himself to be Gideon the Second. I'm Gideon's son after all. But he's not fighting any Midianites. He's fighting Israelites. Bad Israelites. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day, and he took the city and slew the people that was therein and beat down the city and sowed it with salt. When all the men of the tower of Shechem heard that they entered into the hold of the house of the god Bereth. Baal Bereth, by the way, Baal Lord of the covenant. That hurts my heart. You make covenant with your spouse. You make covenant with your God. God covenants with his people. It's a sacred word. So here they have this covenant with Baal Bereth. They entered into the hole of the house of the god Bereth. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. Abimelech got him up to the Mount Zalmon. He and all the people that were with him, and Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a bough from the trees and took it and laid it on his shoulder. And some of the people that were with him, well, you have seen me do, make haste and do as I have done. Isn't that what his father said when he went into battle? But his father was a noble man fighting the battles of the Lord. This is a scoundrel. Again, I think he fancies himself as Gideon the Second. All the people likewise cut down every man his bow and followed Abimelech and put them in the hold and set the hold on fire upon them so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. He's just a bloodthirsty gangster is all he is. Oh, you're not going to follow me? Well, then you die. Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. It was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women. and all that of the city, and shut it to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Good riddance, bad garbage. He knows the woman, she probably calls to him first. He looks up just in time to see something come right into his ugly mug. I have no love lost for the man. When he kills his 60 brothers, he's already not my favorite Bible guy. Do you have anyone who says, my favorite? Oh, it's David. Well, I like Jacob. Oh, I think Gideon's awesome. No, you're all wrong. My vote's Abimelech. I think he's just top. We don't name our children Abimelech, you know. I don't like him. Certain woman. Then he called hastily unto the young man his armor bearer and said to him, draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him. Okay. And the young man thrust him through and he died. When the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. What was that all about, anyway? What was the whole thing about? I don't know. No clear objective, no. Hey, I'm the boss, and a lot of people are going to die. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Remember. And sometimes it's crazy stuff. Thus God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. God rendered. That's what the chapter's about. All the rest is details. What a man soweth, that also shall he reap. Now, I didn't just curse you. Well, I did tell you what the Bible says. You'll never plant apples and get oranges. It can't happen. But if you plant kindness, and unconditional love, and prayer, and patience, and gentleness, it'll come back to you, because the Bible says it will. It doesn't happen the next day. There's always a season in between the planting and the reaping. But you plant a little bit, and you get back a lot of bit. That's how it works. You ever see an apple tree? Little tiny apple seed made that whole tree. Can you imagine? Think how many apples have grown on over the course of its life. That's sowing and reaping. And sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. That's sowing and reaping. God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. And God always will. He's not ambivalent. Now, I sowed last week, I had a little bit of a tiff with Sue, hypothetically, okay? My hypothetical. I answered her roughly, I called her a name, something. I told her her cooking was horrific, or whatever. That's it, I'm going to be sleeping on the couch for the rest of my life. Well, it didn't really happen, so don't worry, everything's happy in Casper's land. But, and then I said I was sorry. Actually, we did have something, and I did say I was sorry about something. I can't remember now. Anyway, it was. I know what it was. I was doing the floor in the living room, and I was kind of all, and she said something, and I said something kind of rude back, and I was sorry. And I was sorry, and I told her I was sorry. Now, that's it. But I've sold the wind. I can't get it back. I don't want you to think every last thing you do that isn't quite 100% good. Are you gonna? That's what the cross is all about. That's what. Sometimes you get a free pass. Sometimes God says, and when do you not? When God's trying to teach you something. Because He's gracious first and foremost. Let's just say she said something to me and she apologized because she was out of sorts. I know. Couldn't happen, right? This is make-believe it happened. I'm so anxious to forgive and clear the air, I'm not like, oh yeah, okay, I'll forgive you this time, but I'm just waiting for a time where I can get back at her. That's not forgiveness, and God's not like that. I'm sister girl, I'm going to tell you. So when I tell you this, modify it with, I'm living in a state of, I'm not following what God said. I know what he said. He's been wrestling with this area. I've been just stubborn. He's going to say, okay, I'm going to let this bear the fruit that it's, you're not going to like the outcome, Adam. You're just, I don't know why you're wrestling me on this. Are my ways better than your ways? What are you, living in judges? Doing right what's in your own eyes, but it's evil in my eyes? And then there's definitely a sowing and a reaping. But I hope there's a sowing and a reaping, in the sense that I try to be courteous, respectful, gentle, kind to people. I try to do those things, and I want them, cast your bread on the waters after many days. It's going to come back to you. I want that, I think in terms of the golden rule, don't you? And I kind of want that stuff to come back on me, to me, in this life and in the next. I want God to render to me, not to my wickedness, but, this God reward. That's our hope, isn't it? I've told you before that every time I think of the verse, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Doesn't that do anything for your heart? It must, right? Don't you think in those terms also? Don't you think in terms of judgment day and wanting to come out of it there's fire and there's wood, hay, and stubble, and don't you want to lose minimal stuff? Don't you want your stuff to come through pretty good, pretty excellent? Don't you think in those terms? Because I do. God rendered the wickedness of Abimelech, which he did unto his father in slaying his 70 brethren. All the evil of the men of Shechem did God render unto their heads, and upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. Jotham said, you guys, you deserve each other. It's not going to work out well, and it sure didn't. Now, I had an idea to get in chapter 10, but it's like 10 of, and I'm not going to, just because I don't want to try to rush these verses, and I spent more time in Abimelech. I kind of just want to read this over. It's distasteful, it's disquieting. We don't love this. There's nothing there that's inspirational, but sometimes scripture's like that, right? Sometimes there's a pillar of salt on the side of the road, and the marker's well placed. Don't be like her. Don't do what she did. God said, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. He could have said, remember Abimelech, or a thousand other stories that have been placed in scripture as a marker. Don't be like this. Don't be a megalomaniac. Don't try to impose your will over other people. Don't try to promote yourself. Be like the vine. Be like the fig tree. Be like the olive. What are you kidding me? I'm making olive oil here. Hey, I'd be messing around with being king. So be that way. Like I said, we'll be dismissed here, but the lessons here in Judges, they're real close to the surface. We don't have to dig down real deep for them, do we? And I kind of appreciate that. Father, bless your word to our understanding. I don't see this among those who name your name here, but still, here it is in your word. We don't skip verses. We don't skip whole chapters. I think it's good. I think it's well placed. Father, as many people as hear this, help them turn from their wicked ways and turn to you. And Lord, we don't want to do what's right in our own eyes. We want to do what's right in your eyes. Help us to be those type of people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.